Charlie and a few of their friends. Chug a couple beers and talk politics. It's better with your two beers in.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Beers and a Tipsy Political Roundtable.
I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd.
And this is the most depressing podcast we've ever had to record.
Well, I'm glad that it's not yesterday. I don't think I could have done this yesterday.
No, because we were both taking turns sobbing.
If for some reason this is the first time you've ever listened to our podcast here 2 days after the end of our republic, Cody and I are married, and we record this podcast from our home in Hell's Kitchen in Manhattan, and once a month we have a live show at UCB Theater East. We have one coming up, right, Cody?
We sure do.
It's going to be, I'm looking it up, it's on Monday the 28th, so that would be the Monday after Thanksgiving. We're going to have a live show at 8 o'clock at UCB Theater East in New York City. Come to that. Haven't booked our panel yet, but I'm sure it will be great. And we also hosted a live election return show, which those of you who do listen to the podcast knew we were doing that. And some of you guys who listen came out to the show, and we appreciate that.
We were planning on releasing that as an episode, but then Donald Trump won the election, and it was just too depressing.
So that was 4 hours long of us slowly losing.
We weren't going to lose. Yeah, we weren't going to. Anyway, so today we actually we wanted to check in with our audience because I know people listening are probably feeling similar to how we are, and we wanted to just sort of have a little post-mortem. So we invited our dear friend, Zubin Parang, the head writer of The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the
long time friend.
Third or fourth time.
And friend of ours.
Fourth time.
Like a personal friend. So we just thought we'd have him over and we could talk. We are not chugging tonight. We're just slowly drinking ourselves into oblivion.
Yep. We've been drinking a little bit. So yeah, the premise of this show is that we chug two beers and talk about politics, a tipsy political roundtable. But tonight we are sipping beer. I'm drinking Grimm's Tesseract, which is a double IPA from Grimm out of Brooklyn, and it's fantastic.
I'm drinking an outdated Stone and Joy by 1031. But you know what? This beer is from before Donald Trump was president, so it tastes good to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's still pretty fresh. And Zubin's rocking the Narragansett.
I'm going a little light because this election result literally made me sick. I haven't slept more than 2 hours in the past two or three nights.
Is that true?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I did not sleep more than 20 minutes election night.
Election night was impossible to sleep.
Yeah. And and then last night I managed to sleep for about like 3 hours.
Do you hear helicopters where you are?
No, I don't.
Because we're very close to Columbus Circle and pretty close to Trump Tower and Times Square. And yeah, the helicopters last night,
they're
hovering over
New
the
York.
Protest.
That's
were
right.
Just, I mean, I had to shut our window and then it was still just brutal. I'm not blaming the protest for me not being able to sleep, but it was like night one, I couldn't sleep because Trump was president. Night two, I was kind of ready to like, you know, have my mind wander and go to sleep, but the helicopters were constantly reminding me, Trump's president, Trump's president, Trump's president.
I'd like to know what you guys thought of the protests because I had very mixed feelings about them.
Yeah.
I do too.
So
let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it because I think we are all similar and you've talked on this podcast too about how you didn't think it was possible for Trump to be president.
And let me just say right off the bat that I think that it's good to have this episode of your podcast. One, because it's good for people to just kind of commiserate over this, but also because Trump supporters will listen to this for Schadenfreude. And after what I've been, after how I treated their lamentations in 2012 and 2008, I think this is very, I owe them this kind of weeping openly in public. So
I hope nobody hate listens to our podcast.
I think that's a significant portion of any political media.
I don't think we're popular enough yet to have.
I just really hope we are popular enough to have people hate us and still listen.
Yeah.
It'd be a very like compelling type of charm you would have if people will hate watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But it is. We all got our just desserts, I guess, right? We all felt confident. I wasn't 100% confident, but part of me doesn't feel bad about the fact that I was so confident. I still volunteered. I still donated money. But I'm glad that I wasn't stewing in the fact that he could have won because now I have to live in this presidency. And I'm glad that I had a few months where it just seemed impossible.
Boy, I don't know about that. I think I would have rather have been aware the month before that he was going to win. I think that I would have been better prepared for it. It felt like such a shock.
It was a gut punch.
Oh, it was. In addition to the news. I literally threw up.
Yeah.
I came home at night. I had one beer and I threw up.
Would you rather have diluted that vomit among 30 days of just bad feeling?
I don't know.
We've got 4 years of bad feeling.
That's true. It's
okay. Yeah. An extra month.
And we have, you know, now we have until January to get used to what this presidency will look like, you know?
That's true. Yeah, I guess I would have... I think the news was so terrible that I wish I hadn't also had the shock of it. And I think that especially... since the entire city shares this shock, it's so compounded. Like, New York for the past couple of days has been very muted. People, the morning after, were walking around like zombies.
It was so bad. It was so bad because on Election Day was a beautiful day.
Wonderful.
It was, you know, 60 degrees. It was gorgeous. Went outside with my son. It was wonderful. And then just the morning after, it was 10 degrees cooler. And it was raining.
He was pouring rain.
And it was just like, I took my son to school, to his 2-year-old, you know, hour and a half school. And I'm walking down the street and I passed a Latina nanny pushing another kid. And I just like started crying on the street. Like I've been crying every 30 minutes for, you know, 12 hours at that point. And I was just like, oh yeah, her too. Yep. She's probably gonna...
I feel like I've had a lot of friends who have been like silently apologizing to minorities and women that they've been walking by all day today. It's a very interesting form of like, I think it speaks to the selflessness of people who vote for Hillary Clinton, the Democrats generally, that they feel very bad for like what's going to happen to people who are not necessarily them.
Yes.
Because in a way, the three of us have various degrees of this affecting, right? Like in some way we are all professional, liberal, affluent New Yorkers. And so in a lot of ways we will be protected from, you know, our health insurance we'll still have our insurance. You know, we're not on Obamacare, but Charlie's going to be fine. He is a white man.
Privileged in Trump's new America.
You are not technically Muslim, but...
I hope he'll recognize
that. I don't know if he'll pass his test.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will pass his test or not.
I've been actually wondering like whether I should shave my beard. I usually grow out a beard for the winter just for fun, but I'm now just wondering if like over the next 2 or 3 months, if there might be an issue of like heightened sensitivity, like more people emboldened to do things or say things, and like, am I really willing to deal with it? Just for it, would it be easier if I just didn't go with it? Which I think is something that it's, and I recognize that sounds very like silly when I say it out loud.
That's a real thing.
It's not because you.
I mean, to live in New York City and to think that is definitely getting a little overcautious.
For you to board a plane to go see family or something.
Maybe I should shave it before Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No, you look like you could maybe be Mexican. Oh,
that's
wait.
What I'm banking
on. That's also bad.
At my best case scenario is some form of Greek, I think.
Yeah, that was funny. Hassan on your show was saying that he sometimes poses as Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Very funny. No, I've had that feeling just like, you know, going, you know, getting something at the deli and like wanting to apologize to, you know, or just wanting to express my like that we're on the same team and I'm really sad and I know you're sad too. And I've, you know, had those moments with everyone. I mean, it's been an interesting couple of days and it feels like 9/12. You know, it just people in New York kind of like looking at each other and making eye contact and being like, yeah, this sucks.
I think we are all
I'm hurting too.
I think we're all in 10 years going to share the story of where you were the night Donald Trump got elected.
I wonder, like, Cody, if you can speak to this. I do feel like in a lot of ways, this seemed like more than anything, like a real slap in the face to women that was delivered by the electorate.
Jubes,
I don't think there's any group more targeted by Trump than women over the course of this election.
I mean, sorry, but...
You're going to mansplain? Please, go ahead.
I know. I totally agree, but the campaign did start with Mexicans are rapists, and the main chant was build the wall. So,
I think what's the...
That's fair.
And I think a lot of people, especially since a majority of women voted for... or a majority of white women, at least, voted for Trump, I think there are a lot of them were... I think a lot of these Rust Belt people that voted are scared of brown people.
Okay, yes. But now let me wumsplain what's happening.
But if I can say one thing.
What is feels like a slap in the face? And yes, you're right. He is against all minorities.
Yeah.
But the grabbing pussies comment, amongst other things, walking in and seeing 15-year-old girls undressing in beauty pageants, and the womanizing, and the alleged sexual harassment and sexual assault.
The admitted sexual assault.
This is the most recent egregious charge.
Yeah, it's true.
This is how his campaign ended. This is what should have ended his campaign. This is what would have ended the campaign of anybody. And what for me is the most hard to swallow pill is that women are complicit in their own oppression, and that we have put the chains back on ourselves. You know, we all other minority groups, and we're not a minority.
Not a minority. Not a fucking majority minority. Of the country is female.
The other groups that are, you know, treated poorly are fighting as a group in solidarity to rise above their oppression. And we are continually keeping ourselves barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. This is a man that says he doesn't think a woman should work because it ruins marriage. I mean, he said that.
It's very inconvenient for employers too. He made that point.
But he also said that led to the downfall of his first marriage was that his wife was she worked. He thinks breastfeeding is gross. I mean, there's just an unending amount of things. And this is coupled with the fact that we had the first female nominated for a major party ever in the history of our country. And she suffered from 30 years of sexism in the media. And I don't care what anybody says. You can say her emails, Benghazi, blah, 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 blah. She was treated differently than she would have been if she was a boring, bland, vanilla, white, male politician.
I wonder, like, to what extent her personality mattered in this election. I do think that, and I think this is like, when you think about the turnout, I know these numbers are all preliminary, but all the Obama coalition did not show up for Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm.
And Trump actually got less votes than Romney.
Right? To call this any sort of like, you know, to say this is some sort of like mandate or that Trump found the surge of white voters, is I don't think it's just true.
25.5% of the country.
Yeah.
I think that half of his voters were supportive of him and half of them just didn't like her. I think that's what they pretty much found out.
There's
something like that.
I mean, they're a preliminary number, so I mean,
exit poll wise, there were more people who voted for Hillary because they wanted to vote for Hillary than were people who voted for Trump who wanted to vote for Trump. A greater percentage of Trump voters don't like the other candidate.
But I think you know, to speak to that point, I think we are in a position now in this day and age that we will never have a boring candidate again. That we have raised the stakes for charisma, for interest, for entertainment. And in a lot of ways, Hillary is a boring, hardworking politician, right? She doesn't have that charisma factor. I mean, I don't think Donald Trump is charismatic, but people do. I mean, he's blustery. I wonder if we're ever going to be able to get back to a place where someone's just good at their job, or do they have to also be controversial or interesting in some way?
The data seems to show, at least on the Democratic side, that if you do not have a politician like Obama, some charismatic history-making candidate. And I know Hillary Clinton was history-making in the sense that she was the first woman, but I don't think she was history-making in the personal way that Obama was. It felt like everyone knew who Hillary Clinton was.
Yeah, people want to be inspired by, you know, it's like this thing of like most people felt like they wanted change, right? Now, why do they want change? Most things seem pretty good. You can have grievances, but it seems odd that it's, you know, 8 years of getting better and we need drastic change. We're not 8 years of getting worse.
I wonder to the extent that, like, for the people whom it was getting better, there was less of a turnout motivation than for the people whom it wasn't. Mm. And I think that's true in every, you know, the party who's out of power always has more of a motivation to vote than the party in. I always thought that I expected that the Obama coalition was more ideological, and now it looks like it's really personality too.
Absolutely.
And that's a terrifying thing to think that you're, especially given the fact that Democrats likely will only be able to control the presidency for the foreseeable future, that the elections will very much depend, but like Democratic power.
That's what's so sad is that, you know, I thought, and I'm sure I've said it on this show, that, you know, Republicans are never going to win the White House again. That, you know, they're going to have Congress because of gerrymandering, but that they, the way the changing demographics of this country, they will never be able to have the White House again. And obviously that's not true. And I guess a lot of these people who did vote for Obama in Michigan and those Rust Belt states voted for him because they liked him and they wanted to have a beer with him and they, you know, trusted him and they believed that he was speaking to them. And then they didn't think that about Hillary. And maybe that's because of 30 years of attacks on Hillary and 30 years of
she's
her being
she's also not an inspiring speaker the way Obama
she's not.
Was.
She's not. She is. I mean, and I this really hit home for me way too late. But on Monday night, this is inspiring rally in Philadelphia. And you had, was it Bruce Springsteen play? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Obama knocked it out of the park, you know, amazing speech. Michelle Obama, amazing orator. Bill Clinton was great. Even Chelsea was, you know, made me tear up talking about her mother. And then Hillary gets out there and does her stump speech. And it's, you know, I loved Hillary so much. And I was so happy to vote for her. And I was so like not holding my nose in any way and still love her and am heartbroken for her. But she is, you know, watching her take that stage after all of that firepower of these great orators and her just going, we are stronger together. It's like,
well, that's,
you know,
what's so
just
frustrating. Yeah. And her story is inspiring. Why do her and her words are inspiring?
But I think what you're saying is from
why do they, why
you
does
have
she
to have both? Yeah. You have to have both. And we can't nominate someone who doesn't have both in the future, sadly. And yeah, she has a very inspiring story, and I hate, it pains me to criticize her speaking ability because I can't stand when people say that she's shrill or she yells or all these things that are obviously misogynistic reviews of her her womanhood, of her you know, her speech. But whatever it is, it's not just that she's a woman and that it's sexist. It does not have that doesn't have the inspiring cadence that, you know, she can't tell a joke. I mean, Obama is a unique, maybe once in a lifetime politician who has all of those things.
Well, and Michelle Obama, I mean, honestly, throughout this campaign, consistently, when she speaks, it feels like the earth is moving.
Yeah. So maybe she'll turn into a politician.
It's exactly. And you have to be inspired by her story and by her dedication, then you can be inspired by her rhetoric and her charisma, and that's not. Yeah. And when you're running against a guy who was all
that, this is what's sexist. This is what's so sexist is that she has to be this inspirational, transformational figure, and this fucking idiot.
Yeah,
he's not.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. He's not inspiring, and most of his supporters did not vote for him because, or a large majority just voted for him because he wasn't her. So yeah, it's like, as a man, he can get away with it.
We might be exaggerating the exit poll that we're both trying to remember a little bit. I mean, I think he did inspire people. And some of them were KKK members and some of them were David Duke. And some of them were just angry white men who, you know, I was listening.
And women.
Somebody made this commentary on another podcast or something I was listening to. But just the, you know, that maybe after having a black president, people could pat themselves on the back and we did it. And then we reelected him. And then, you know, maybe there were just some white men who thought, wait a minute, if we have 12 years of this, if we go from the black president to the woman president, maybe it'll never be our turn again. You know, I mean, Van Jones called it like the white lash of like, you know, we can't.
But it's and so many women think that a woman can't be president. So many women think that. That's the other thing, too. It's not just men thinking that. Yeah. And these people think that a woman could never be president, that a woman could never be in charge.
Not just Hillary Clinton, but no woman.
And that is a real thing. And when we nominated, when we were picking who to nominate in 2008, I told Charlie, America will not vote for a woman. They will vote for a black man over a woman. And
he
won. I mean, when you think about it, this is the nature of politics, right? That like black men had the right to vote before, way before women did.
Yeah.
I mean, granted,
history of America.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, granted, there were Jim Crow laws.
Yeah,
that kept
white
them
women
from,
were kind of doing better in the 60s.
Sure, but but still, we were such an afterthought.
Probably every decade prior to that, too. Yeah. No, I
mean,
you're right.
I mean, doing better in doing better in.
Yes, in some ways. It is telling that women got the right to vote after.
That we are still arguing. And our vice president, our vice president-elect, who no one knows or thought to care anything about because they didn't think that Trump would win. This man is most likely, I think the most likely scenario is that this man will be running the country.
If we were to believe the deal that John Kasich was offered by Donald Trump Jr., Mike Pence will be in charge of domestic and foreign affairs. That's so comforting to know that.
And this
Trump,
is a man.
Meanwhile, we'll make America.
This is a man that believes in conversion therapy for homosexuals. This is a man that believes that women should have to bury their fetuses if they have a miscarriage. I mean, this man is not in the norm.
I think the depressing aspect of that is the idea that I don't necessarily think that, like, the majority of Trump voters are racist or like hate.
I agree.
Minorities or women, but it's just Trump offered them more offered them a return to employment and a lifestyle.
We're at 4.9% unemployment. This is what's been rattling me. The stock market at 18,000.
But I'll tell you, in those Rust
Belt
states,
things are good.
But those Rust Belt states, they don't feel that.
They don't have
the jobs are like two or three jobs. They're minimum wage. Yeah. They're not as steady.
They're like your work. You're like a waitress at a Shoney's, and maybe 20 years ago, you could have had a factory job.
What about the stat that they make $75,000 a year?
Lot of these Trump.
Oh no, I don't. Yeah. I think I agree. A significant portion of Trump supporters are wealthier than that. But I feel like the critical difference, especially in the Rust Belt states,
and those people who make that, let's say that those people who are more affluent that are Trump supporters, they believe that they should be getting a higher rate of their taxes back, and that's how they vote. They vote based on taxes, and they were willing to overlook him being racist. They were willing to overlook that. So
that's the difference. I mean, the idea of like they're not racist; they just don't care about all that.
Yeah.
When they see what Trump is offering,
which
country.
If you tear away at the surface, you realize that, well, he's not offering anything.
Neither party's offered. And that's another thing where I think it gets to the point where like both of the parties for the past 30 years have been captured by the finance industry and the upper class captains of industry who have like led globalization and like accelerated America's decline of manufacturing jobs. I mean, I think the fact that like neither party's responded to these people has resulted in them just.
But also, what are we supposed to do? Like, how are we going to make the jobs come back?
Someone needs to
get rid of NAFTA and all this stuff. I mean, Trump's saying he wants to do that.
I mean, if you accept the fact that like at some point you're going to like accelerate, if you accept that you need to automate and globalize, then at the very least there should be some level of attention paid to the people who lose to that situation.
Right.
But what Democrats and Republicans both basically did was say, we'll do job training programs and that stuff. And then never did anything like that. So you can't just say that the free market will drop prices down 10 cents for everybody when these people are losing their jobs. That cost benefit never favors them. So,
and we're also in this environment now where we have a dysfunctional Congress. And so even if one party had an idea how to fix and create something for people that need to have better jobs, we can't get anything passed.
Right.
But
Obama, this guy will pass a lot of stuff.
Sure.
When do you guys think we'll have our first female president?
Oh God.
I think before we die.
Okay.
I'm confident.
Oh God.
All right, so we're in our
optimistic.
We're in our mid to late 30s, so yeah. Within the next 50 years.
You're being very optimistic.
You're going to live to 85?
I like to think so, yeah. But I think within the next 40 years.
Will
she be a Republican?
I don't know.
Here's who I think the first female president's going to be. A vice president, a Sarah Palin type that gets, you know, on the Republican ticket. With an old white man who dies.
You think so? Wow.
Who dies. Yeah. I think the first.
Is going to be a McCain-Palin situation?
I think the first female president will be only because the white guy died.
Wow, that's pessimistic. don't forget.
No, but by the way, I think that could be in 8 years. you know.
But don't forget that.
I also think we'll have
won the popular vote. I mean, she right. by all accounts, the majority of the country said we want her to be the president.
But she didn't win, and that's. Do you think the Democrats should run a woman in 2020?
I think they should run the best candidate, and I think that includes someone who can take advantage of whatever the zeitgeist is at that time. Obama right. was uniquely suited to take advantage of the zeitgeist,
and Hillary was uniquely was not really ready well, to take advantage. Of
I also think that this is a very anti-establishment. Campaign, and I think people were pissed last year when it looked like their options were going to be a Clinton and a Bush again, and they were like, fuck you, we're not taking Bush.
So let's talk about Bernie. Juven, what do you think? Do you think Bernie could have beat Trump?
I don't think so. I don't think Bernie definitely didn't have the charisma necessary to beat Trump. Trump was very funny. He was very charismatic. He was very charming. Trump is a very good candidate, I think.
I'd say Bernie probably gave a better speech than Hillary, but I was running down Hillary's oratory skills earlier, and I do want to say stick up for a little bit and say whenever she – like her debates were flawless. She was amazing Absolutely. In debates when she was having a back and forth and answering questions. What really kind of put me over the top of like really getting on the Hillary train this time last year were the week where there were the Benghazi hearings where mm-hmm. I watched her just like with such like – perfect execution, deal with 12 hours of questions from assholes.
Because she knows everything.
And then she had a debate. Yeah, and she had a debate with the first debate with Bernie, I think, the same week, and she knocked that out of the park, too. It was like, oh, this woman is brilliant. She knows everything about everything, and she's more qualified than Bernie, and I kind of got on her team at that point. But I do think Bernie may be similar to Trump. Can fire up a crowd in a way that Hillary could.
That I don't think so is true. And I obviously I don't know. And I thought,
but he had a similar thing of rallies around the country with a big turnout.
But he didn't win the candidacy.
That's the critical. I mean, he lost to Hillary. How is he going to beat the guy who beat Hillary?
Well, people could argue that he lost to Hillary in the states in the South where African American people voted.
Yeah, and guess what? The turnout of African Americans for Hillary was not as good as it was Obama. They certainly aren't coming out to vote for Bernie.
That was African American. Yeah,
and also, I mean, right. I want to sort of move to, we all agree that it's shocking and insane. I want to sort of move to what do you think is happening now in terms of how we should be dealing with this? One thing that I am upset at, there's so much blame to go around. We can blame the media for normalizing Trump and not attacking him the same way that they attacked Clinton on a lot of issues. You know, we talked about her having pneumonia for like 2 weeks. And, mm-hmm. you know, did we talk about the real correlation between Russia and Trump? And they should never have stopped asking and demanding for his tax returns. There's a lot of misinformation that we don't just information we just don't have about Trump.
Does he have to give his tax returns out now that he's president?
I don't think so.
But like Obama would release his tax returns every year for the last 8 years. That's just him being a nice guy doing that.
I think so. I don't
think it's all norms rather than.
Yeah, I believe so.
In the same way that. Yeah. So one thing that I'm frustrated with, I think there's two reactions that people are having that I find problematic. And again, I want to say that everybody's grieving in their own way right now. So I don't want to tell anybody how to feel or how to react. But I do think we're in this. I've been silent on social media for the last couple of days because I just want to make sure anything I'm putting out, I'm thinking about first. I mean, I haven't been silent when I talk to anybody, but, you know, when I'm putting out into the world.
By the way, I'm sorry. Trump does not have to release. The president is not obligated to release his tax return.
They just do.
It's a tradition and custom that is no longer effective.
Right. There's, wonderful.
Like many things, it's no longer in operation. I'm sorry. Go on.
No. I find it frustrating that some Bernie supporters are laying blame at the feet of Hillary supporters and saying that, you know, we should have elected Bernie. And I think that's counterproductive because it's easy to be like, well, Bernie would have won. Sure. OK. Yeah. And Michael Jackson could have won, too. And
no, it's true. To a certain extent, it's not like, yeah.
It's not helpful that we all are in the same boat and we all need to band together. And you know what? I found Hillary inspiring. And
that's
then
another thing, too. Like, everyone assumes that. The assumption that like everyone thought Hillary sucked, but was like she'll beat Trump is not true. Mm-mm.
I found her inspiring.
Yeah, many women.
I found her more inspiring than Bernie because Bernie did an editorial board interview with the New York Daily News where it was sort of revealed that he didn't really know anything beyond his stump speech. And I like him, and I guess I you know. now that we've lost, there's a small part of me that does want to reflect on my choices and reflect on, you know, friends of mine who were, you know, Bernie bros, some of which were on this podcast, and, you know, maybe were they right? Could he have won? I still don't think so. I still don't think this country was going to elect somebody who is a democratic socialist, because I think they don't know the difference between that and socialists. And I don't think these Rust Belt people would have gone for that either. I don't know.
It's hard to think. And again, it's all account. It's all speculation. But to Trump appeal to a sense of not organization, not like classic labor leftist arguments about we have to organize.
He's going to bust up all the unions, right? These people that voted for him are probably mostly in unions, right? I mean, in terms of the...
Well, unions are already dying.
But the people in Michigan and Pennsylvania, the people that really lost it for us.
Say the union tradition, yeah.
They typically side with whoever the AFL-CIO endorses, and this time they did not.
But I feel like his argument is all anti-immigration. It's all arguments against other people who are stealing your jobs, not necessarily the people on top who are actually the ones who are moving the jobs away. And I think that argument definitely resonated with them a lot more. I don't see how why Bernie coming in saying, like, the real issue is up top would have made a significant difference when, in addition to that, the cultural resentments that are there with, like, a lot of, like, Florida voters came out because there's, and I'm, again, these are, like, preliminary exit polling, the idea of, like, seeing a lot of, you know, the towns changing, becoming more Hispanic in makeup. Bernie Sanders does not appeal to that sense of cultural loss, mm-hmm. the way that Trump appealed to both economic and cultural loss.
And he's Jewish. And I will say that a lot of Trump supporters are anti-Semitic. And he had a lot of anti-Semitic dog whistles. So there are a lot of... he could have won. For sure he could have won. But I think it would have been...
Hillary could have won, too.
Hillary did win.
If 1 in 100 people had changed their vote in 3 swing states, you know.
But that's the thing. It's like, well, then what... Like, it really just came down to a question of, like... Even Trump didn't get out the voters that, you know, the percentage base that Romney did. So, like, right. All Hillary needed to do was to bring out the Obama coalition. It's like, what was it that did not bring those people out? And I don't know. I have no idea what that is.
I think that
aside from Obama running again.
I know for a lot of people who are really happy with Obama, I, you know, spoken to some people in Ohio that were anti-Hillary because they didn't trust her. And they voted third party or didn't vote.
Can we put some blame on James Comey?
I don't know.
You think if that hadn't happened 2 weeks ago, would we?
Do you think would have made like what? Like a?
I mean, it was a lost week, and it was the second to last week before the election.
I guess so.
And you know what we were talking about before that hit? Every day there was a new person coming out and saying that Trump groped me. Trump, you know.
Sure.
It did. I think what had happened.
It took that completely off the table.
I think it made the Republicans come back. I think the Republicans that were feeling uneasy about it, we're like, yeah.
I guess without data on that, it's all just. I guess I have no idea, and I feel like it's speculating without any kind of like. Once there's exit polling that's like, why did you? Did you change your vote in the last week? Did you change because of Comey?
Yeah.
It seems like just seeing how it was just a turnout issue ultimately on our side. It seems like it's mostly a question of like, will the next time will there be a candidate who can appeal to minorities and young people in a way that Hillary couldn't at Obama's level.
So what do you guys think about the protests? And what do you think about also people, you know, having a just sort of on Facebook lashing out and being angry?
But not my president.
Yeah.
Type.
I mean, I also support that, but I'm also, I guess it's more in the sense that I'm exhausted and it's funny because my immediate feeling is one of like, where were you on Tuesday? But I don't think the people who protested didn't vote on Tuesday.
The Tuesday before? Were they
out in Ohio?
Were they not going to do it? Not that I was. I mean, I have.
That's
another
thing too. Yeah, like, I didn't. I wasn't out there knocking on doors.
I phone banked in my underwear in my bedroom for an hour or so. You know, I gave a little bit of money, but I have that regret. I mean, I feel like all of us need to have.
Yeah, but it just shows that the ground game did nothing.
That's also crazy. What happened to the ground game? Yeah.
I mean, the ground game was phenomenal.
That was why I was so convinced that she would win. I was like, this guy doesn't want to be president. He has no organization. He took no interest in building an organization.
But it doesn't matter when you get billions of dollars worth of free media.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean when I say we're never going to have another presidential candidate that doesn't have a cult of personality in some way. I want to say I think anything that calls people to action is good, and I just hope that this action is sustained over the next 4 years.
That's a critical thing. It's going to be. This is not going to be a good 2 years at all.
No,
there's going to be.
What do you think is going to happen?
If we can riot in the streets, I'm not rioting the streets, but the people that are rioting in the streets, if they can do it every day through the midterm election and
just destroy the country. Well, like,
no, I mean, I don't know. That would be bad traffic for a couple of years. It's not going to destroy the country. But I'm just saying if this energy that's being expressed now the day and the second day after the election, if they can galvanize that energy into voting in a midterm. What do you mean?
If we all can sustain this energy.
Yeah, sure.
The way we feel now.
Sure. But I'm saying, but my energy right now is not going towards anything other than kind of crying by myself.
But the problem with a lot of it is a geographic trap the Democrats have. I mean, she won the vote. She won the popular vote, but because we're so...
She won Manhattan, where all these protests are happening. Exactly. She won 90% to 10%. Trump got 10% of the vote in his home.
I mean, the protests in the entire state of New York are meaningless.
Yeah, but are they? But you could also make the argument that they are being covered on the news, and you know, in the way that Occupy Wall Street brought income inequality into the conversation. Possibly, you know, are these protests? I mean, look, I think we all need to be very vigilant. I think we all need to speak out. I think we need to. I have never done this, but maybe I need to start paying for a newspaper and pay for the Washington Post, and you know, support. Investigative journalism and, you know, make sure that what's left of our press corps holds his feet to the fire and pays attention.
What are you guys most afraid of in a Trump presidency? What do you think are the things that he's going to be able to get done?
I think for the first 2 years, you can probably assume Obamacare will be largely gone.
How do you get rid of healthcare for 20 million people and not have that?
That's a great question.
Trump has said, and we should be fair about this. He has said that he is going to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something terrific.
Yeah, we'll all
so
get.
So when we find out what that terrific thing is, when we find out what his secret plan is to defeat ISIS,
it's going
to
be over state lines.
Yeah, there's something terrific is you can buy your healthcare over state lines, and then every healthcare company will just move to Delaware and set up some shitty healthcare.
My fear about Donald Trump is that he seems actually very like ideologically free. Like he doesn't really seem to have any core opinion or anything.
Who knows?
I feel like if he had any really strong opinion, we'd have seen that consistently over the course of. Some point in his life, but he seems very just. And I feel
he
like
literally
like,
would ask crowds in like town halls, like, "What do you guys think? What do you think I should do? Yeah. With this? Should we build the wall? What do you think?"
I don't think he thinks one way or the other very strongly about anything. And I think that on the one hand, that could become a useful thing if it turns out that he becomes unpopular, he'll change direction to go back up. But what I think will really happen is he tends to go with the people who are around him.
And who are like sucking his dick.
And he's surrounding himself with terrible people.
Yeah, you're going to have Mike Pence there.
But this is this is you know, such an amazing con that I think he's pulled over everybody. Anybody that voted for him because they wanted him to drain the swamp and they wanted him to blow up Washington and be an outsider and tell it like it is should... I hope have some buyer's remorse at the names that are being bandied about in terms of Newt Gingrich, Rudy Giuliani, John Bolton from the Bush administration.
Cable News is now working in the government.
Yeah, it's just it's
and all these failed old white men from the 90s.
It's amazing.
Yeah, the swamp. It's like, OK, you're going to drain this swamp and bring back the swamp that took us into Iraq and crashed the global
economy.
I have
a secret hope. Is that I think this will be the way we win in 2 years, and he could potentially even get impeached over this. Let's say he makes Rudy Giuliani attorney general, mm-hmm. and Rudy Giuliani, I think, would decide to enforce the drug laws and stop all of the legal marijuana in all the states that have passed
it. Which, by the way, we just got it in Massachusetts and California and a couple other places.
And if he does that, I think Trump will be impeached by a coup of young...
Oh man.
Vibrant. I mean, seriously, if you try to take away the weed that people have fought so hard to get in their states, and Giuliani is a fucking crazy ass dickhead.
I think at some point Trump is going to overstep in some direction, but I think that he, I'll tell you something. I feel the Republican Party is a very united group, and I don't necessarily think that they
will haven't not been. We were talking about the end of the Republican Party 3 days ago.
And also, like, don't you think they would
you
rather?
You think they just immediately, because they just have no scruples and they have no shame, and they're just all going to come back together. And Ted Cruz has already forgotten that that Trump said his wife was ugly and his dad murdered JFK, and they're just all going to come back home.
This guy brought them a presidency they were not expecting.
And a Senate. And a lot Senate, of the Senate rode absolutely. Their coattails.
I don't think any of them don't think that their political lives for the foreseeable future depend on him.
But I will say
that someone like Ben Sasse, would he side with the Democrats to stop something?
Absolutely. I don't think so. I don't think so. There's too much pressure. I mean, seeing how Nebraska, just seeing how his constituency went for Trump, what reason would he have to go against it unless he was willing to retire on it?
I will say this. I do feel like if Trump gives them an opportunity, if something happens that's completely illegal, I think they will impeach him. I think they would be eager to impeach him and get him out. In that, like, if there was...
Because Mike Pence would become president.
Because Mike Pence would become president. And that, I mean, if it were a way that was like...
We can't impeach him.
If they could say it...
Maybe worse.
No, I actually don't think Mike Pence is worse. I don't. Mike Pence...
I'm not worried about, like, nuclear war with North Korea with Mike
And that's
Pence,
the point, because
But Trump thinks abortion's okay. He's had 12,
yes,
is my guess.
But, Charlie, definitely. There are checks and balances enough, and what this election has proved is that America doesn't give a shit about social stuff anymore. They really don't. You can say, we don't care about religion anymore. We fucking nominated, or we just elected Donald Trump as the president. But, so I'm saying in 2 years, if Mike Pence will be out in 4 years, if... He'll be out no term if he, for some reason, were.
I don't think he could have gotten elected president on his own, for sure.
Yeah, but what?
And he would be gone because all he has is social stuff to run on, and people aren't interested in that anymore.
This is really frustrating me this week.
I mean, I love that we're arguing about what's worse between these two terrible people.
The president, vice president.
But I think the unknown is worse.
Shubin, maybe you can explain this to me. I just, this blow of the Republicans having House, Senate, and presidency, and, like, I disagree with everything the Republicans want. Everything. Mm-hmm. Like, why is that? Why do we have two parties where it's like there's literally no common ground? Like, the goal, at least the goal that Ryan and McConnell are talking about, is to literally dismantle everything that's happened for the past 8 years.
Why isn't it
just like, oh yeah, these guys think there should be lower taxes because they're a little bit greedy and they're a little religious, so they don't like, but it's like, it's literally every, I have no common ground with them.
I mean,
why is that?
I mean, there's ultimately, like, there's just two philosophies of political life that we each have, right? Well, we believe that mostly government should be used as a way to redistribute wealth from a society that has gained and should to minimize inequalities that arise from capitalism.
But why is that paired with also, like, we think that,
gay
issues? People should be able to be married and that smoking marijuana is okay and... Like, it's just, I don't know. Have I been conditioned from watching MSNBC for 10 years and just being a Democrat since I was 16 that I just literally agree with everything in Hillary's platform and nothing in the other side's platform? That's why this gut punch is so devastating. Yeah. It's not just like, oh, the politician I like lost, but I'm in some European country with 40 parties or whatever. But this other party, like, we disagree on,
I think that's
6% or 30% of the issues, but I disagree with 100% of Mike Pence.
But I think that's partly because of our two-party system. We don't, because structurally it's a winner take all. So you have to have two-party systems. You ultimately, you really only have like three major blocks of political thought in the United States. You have socially liberal and fiscally liberal. You have socially conservative and fiscally conservative, and you have libertarians. Yeah, and those libertarians care more about economic policy by and large than social, so they ally with the conservatives.
Yeah, which is so why I think a lot of people looking at the election results and looking at Gary Johnson and trying to call him a spoiler, it's like, first of all, he got like 2% or something. But I don't think that these Gary Johnson voters were going to ever vote for Hillary.
I mean, if any, Donald Trump is a repudiation of of everything. Like, if they, I mean, Donald Trump repudiates libertarian philosophy tooth and nail, like completely. And I don't see why they.
He wants to get rid of trade deals. I mean, you know,
he wants to renegotiate them and make them better and make them pro-American, which means he wants.
All right, you're right. That's not free trade. You're right.
Not free trade at all. Like, the reason libertarians ally with Republicans has been because the Republican intellectual elite is all libertarian as well.
Yeah.
That's not Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be that, I think, is the thing that Donald Trump is going to bring them to heel on for the foreseeable future. Or actually, or he'll just be like, yeah, I don't care. It depends on like what. That's the thing about Trump. He's very much an enigma. Like, I don't know what Donald
Trump is. And that's what's so scary. I, if we had Mike Pence, you know what? I can deal with that. I mean, I can't. I would fight. I would, you know. But Donald Trump is an amorphous blob of a human that doesn't actually want this. And his ties to Russia are terrifying. And all of the people that he is appointing or discussing in his cabinet are pro-war. You know, pro law and order.
Yeah.
It's very scary.
He's sort of,
it's very antithetical to what he's run on.
He's run on more of an isolationist foreign policy and just getting out of there.
It's that's the thing. Like he looks to,
but he doesn't, because he also says things like, oh, well, if they, you know, if those Iranians mocked our sailors, I'd kill them all. And I'm going to bring back waterboarding. So it's like, well, are you anti-war or are you?
But that's the Republican Party's like government elite are all movement conservatives. None of them are the kind of like white nationalist ethnocentric isolationist that he represents.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that he would just. He just knows these guys from cable news. He just kind of like picks them and they're happy to come into the office. So it's a matter of like, does he exert power over them or are they going to exert influence on him?
Yeah, I mean, I would push back on you saying that you'd rather have Mike Pence because you know what you're going to get. Because for me, having Mike Pence, I know that I'm going to hate everything I'm going to get. And Trump, I do have this glimmer of like, well, I mean, in the 90s, he was, you know, pro-choice right. And like maybe.
Sure. But you know what? I honestly to my LGBTQ friends, I honestly don't think that that is a battle he wants or cares
about. I agree with
that. And he will not spend any capital to do anything. I don't. This man is a New York City
liberal. In a good way. Yeah.
Yes. I think we can feel safe in that regard.
And it's unpopular.
There's no...
take back gay marriage.
No, all they want to do is bluster about how much they hate gay marriage, but no one wants to actually... Well, change the makeup of a court. And I mean, well, they are.
He hasn't talked about that on the trip.
No. So I don't think that should be a worry. What's worrisome to me is Obamacare is gone. I really believe that that's gone. I don't think there's any way to save it. And I think that they didn't actually want to dismantle it. They just wanted to say that they wanted to dismantle it.
I could see them now actually fixing it and doing like leaving it in place and doing the things that would fix it that they wouldn't do when Obama was president, to give him credit.
It depends on how popular the pre-existing condition is. If they feel like they can get rid of that without a consequence, they'll do
it. But then that gets rid of the whole, the whole thing.
But I say if they can't get rid of the pre-existing condition, then I think that in some way or form, Obamacare survives. They can't, can't get rid of that. Then
you have to have some kind of mandate.
I think they 100% repeal it. But the only way they can do that is if they get rid of the filibuster. And maybe they just don't have the appetite.
I think they'll probably get rid of the filibuster.
So, yeah, I want to talk about the filibuster because I believe you've said in the past, and I think you've said in the last couple of days, that you're okay with the filibuster going. With Republican power, you said that you're okay
I mean, elections have consequences, and they won the Senate. And especially in a year like
even
now.
Even in the way that they've used it for the last 8 years, you're ready to say like, okay, you guys fucked us for 8 years with this dumb trick that we all hate. And now we have it and we're going to go high and just get rid of it. Then you think that's what we should do?
Yeah. I don't want them to get rid of the filibuster now because they're in power. But I should say this. As a matter of principle, I don't believe in the filibuster. I'm saying if it turns out they just forget to get rid of it, great, sure, that makes sense to me.
I think that they might leave it, and here's why.
Heritage Foundation is apparently against getting rid of it.
The Republican Party has no ideas. They have no plans. Their entire 8 years has just been an opposition party, and now all of a sudden they're thrust into being able and forced to get
things. I don't think they don't have ideas. They have plenty of ideas. Paul Ryan is filled with ideas.
But can Paul Ryan, they can't get, I mean, can he?
He can, I mean, if they get rid of the filibuster, he can have the entire
Republican agenda
on the door.
But they're such a fractured party.
I don't think they are anymore.
You don't think the Tea Party?
Trump
conservatives are.
They're for the next, for the
next.
There
will be fractured with issues like trade. I mean, issues where Trump
disagrees. At some point down the future, 2 years, the cracks will start showing. But for the next year, this is Trump's party. These are Trump's men.
But Trump, that's the case, then
get rid of the filibuster, give everybody exactly what they fucking asked for. Let it fall. It's already happened. They've already given Trump. The only thing that scares me about Trump is a nuclear holocaust. I do think that this man is not temperamentally fit to have the nuclear codes, and that scares the fuck out of me.
That's
and we're also scared for our Muslim and African-American friends and Hispanic
absolutely
friends.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think
gay
that
friends.
We have these amazing organizations that we all, if we're vigilant, hopefully we will all fight. But a nuclear war, you can't turn the, like, that's, right.
Climate change. We didn't even talk about climate change.
Well, why would we start talking about it now? It hasn't been talked about the entire year.
I mean, it's going to be ripped up. He said he was going to rip up the Paris Treaty.
He already said that he's appointing a climate change denier to the head of the EPA.
The Paris Agreement, like, all that stuff is
guys. The Iran really, deal is gone.
The Iran deal, that's maybe, it depends, I think,
can,
on.
Can he just get rid of the Iran deal?
Yes. I mean, he can just ignore. Yeah, he can. But that is an agreement with, like, several other countries. And I think if they come in and tell him, like, you know, it depends if they can be, like, keep it.
Can the world community express some leverage on Donald
I think it
Trump?
Depends on if he, I mean, I again, I think it depends if how much he cares about it. I don't think he cares
it
about it
It also depends
much.
On how they speak to him. I think if these world leaders come in and they're like, hey, Donald, it's like speaking to our fucking kid, right? Mm-hmm. Like, my 2.5-year-old. If I make him think that it's his idea to get in the bathtub, then he's all for it. But if I say, let's go get in the bathtub, he's like, no. You know what I mean?
Very
and I think
so.
Donald Trump is like that. He needs someone to, like, stroke
that's
his balls.
That's the thing that's, like, the most terrifying to me is the fact that even Bush had, like, an ideology that you could – there was a philosophy behind his decisions that made – that you could predict his future actions. This guy, I legit do not know – what the future holds, and I do.
There's a chance it could be good,
but that's also part of it. There's a chance he could. I read an article. I remember, like, a few years ago, last year, that was like Donald Trump as president. What could happen? And someone suggested, like, the article suggested that he could be like Arnold Schwarzenegger was as governor, where he starts out very doctrinaire, immediately loses a huge amount of popularity, and then doesn't want to be unpopular, has no connection to Republicans, so he's just like becomes eventually like a centrist kind of governor.
I think there is a chance of that.
I also think there's a chance.
He needs approval. I mean, every rally he had was just talking about the poll numbers, and the only poll the poll number that exists now is approval rating. Right, that's the only poll that he has to worry about, and his approval rating is not going to be good at first.
I think if he ends up chasing 55-60% approval rating, he's not going to be a terrible president.
Because you have things like 90% of Americans are ready for background checks on gun control. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you hear the statistics that most of us actually agree on outside of this, like, dumb electoral college system. So I'm still in denial about a few things, Jubin, and I just want to see if I'm totally crazy. But, like, is there no way that Obama could, by fiat, make Merrick Garland a Supreme Court justice? I mean, because that literally is, that's the biggest con that the Republicans have ever done.
What a beautiful gamble. I can't believe
they got away with
like
that. And even like the fact that, those fuckers 2 weeks ago were saying, like, well, we're not going to let Hillary nominate anybody for 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was so craven. Like, we'll let the American to say we'll let the reason for not confirming him was we need the American people to decide. And then when they thought Hillary was going to win, to say, oh, well, if Hillary wins, we'll wait 4 years before confirming.
But that's the kind of thing that the filibuster,
there's no consequences of that.
Obama
can't be like, you know what? Fuck all y'all. Y'all said this and this and this.
I don't see how you do that. A recess appointment. I don't see what he would. I can't imagine how he would appoint a Supreme Court nominee without...
You could change... I mean, people talked about this, changing the rules and saying in the Constitution it says in due time or in due process they...
Scalia
approve.
Fucking died, man, and he died at the wrong time, and we should get his goddamn seat.
No, they
really fucked
they,
up.
They, I mean, they, I will say the Republicans, I've been very lucky in the past 3 or 4 years how they managed to... I mean, since 2010, how they managed to... block such massive swaths of Obama's agenda. They did a very good job of it.
They were just huge fucking cocks.
Yeah.
Just giant cocks.
This is a huge cherry on top of all that cock blocking.
Giant cocks that you think they would pay, the American people would be like, oh, these guys are cocks, man. Let's get them out of there. And they paid no consequence for it. And that's bumming me out the most.
And that's ultimately the Democrats' fault. Their turnout was not there. And the Democratic base has no one to blame for themselves for that.
But we're never cocks. Like, do you think that like...
But
But you know what? We've got to start being.
I know that we go high, and I know that Obama gave a nice speech about Trump and sat down next to Trump today.
We have 4 years of an insanely unqualified personality disorder, crazy person in charge of the government, and we have to hold the fire to the feet of our representatives, they have to be as obstructionist as they possibly can, the same way the Republicans have been to them.
I will tell you something. If they get rid of the filibuster, there's no such thing as that.
Of course.
So we have to live and die in that moment when they try to get rid of it. We have to protest in the streets. And we have to...
Sure. I mean, yeah.
But you know what? If they get rid of the filibuster and they're able to enact every bit of their agenda, you know... Maybe that's what the American...
But that's exactly why I don't support the filibuster.
That's what the American people deserve.
That's why I don't support
the filibuster. And also, people are going to be able... And I agree with you in that, because people will be able to look at that party and say, oh, wow,
yeah,
they lost me my health insurance. They, you know, they did all these things.
That's genuinely ultimately, I don't really support the idea of a Congress and a president, like, splitting power. There should be one party in power, or a coalition of parties in power.
But the filibuster used to be there for, like, extreme circumstances.
Sure, with, like, blocking civil rights.
And now it's...
Yeah, it's 60 votes to get anything past the Senate. And that's just, I understand it helps the minority party, and for policies I support, I appreciate that, but that's just not democracy. If you win power...
We should wrap this up.
You should be held accountable for it, and the filibuster takes that... accountability way. Obama's blamed for things he never got a chance to address because the Republicans never let him do anything about it.
I'm still in the denial phase of all of this. And another thing that I'm in denial about is the Electoral College. Like, don't you think that, like, the Electoral College was sort of the reason that it was? Well, yes, one, the Electoral College sucks because it gives too much power to racist farmers and not enough to people that live in cities. And really, this entire election and the entire problem with our country is that people who live in cities and people who do not live in cities do not agree. And that's the problem.
And we have no voice.
That's what we're facing. And they have an equal number of senators, and the Electoral College skews their way. But the one good thing about the Electoral College is that if someone grossly unqualified, who is dangerous to our country, gets elected, these electors could overturn the will of the people. Like, that's why it was set up, right? Because we didn't trust the people in 17, whatever. So is there a chance that on December 19th that the Electoral College could say, like, you know what, this guy has never held public office. He's never showed any interest his entire life of serving anyone other than himself. He has ties to Russia. He grabs pussies. He's racist and xenophobic. So we're going to give it to Hillary.
I will say that I said Donald Trump could never be the president or even the nominee, but I will tell you with absolute conviction that will not happen.
And you know,
5% chance.
I believe that it shouldn't happen.
And it shouldn't happen.
I think we should get rid of the Electoral College, but I don't think that should in this instance, because then it just becomes, in the next 4 years, they nominate somebody else and they block it. Like,
that's true. The norms, I guess.
Fucking take our lumps now, move forward. And then if that, it does seem in our lifetime, and since I've been voting, this has happened twice.
It's amazing.
That is what's insane.
You're saying the popular vote, not electing the president.
In two people that I voted for, they've won. And
it's crazy.
Although now it might actually, I think that the vote is still out. So it's still.
No, California's coming in. She's going to win by a lot. She's going to win by a percentage point in the popular vote. I will say the Electoral College will go away within 2 months after it happens the other way around. If it ever happens the other way around, had Donald Trump won the popular vote and Hillary become elected president, I think the Republicans would have been a bipartisan way work to get rid of the Electoral College.
I agree with that.
Because they get shit done because they're fucking cops.
Yeah, they're masters of process.
I want to say one thing, just one quick anecdote before we wrap up, because I told this at our live show and we're not releasing the live show because it was a car wreck. But on election night at about 6 o'clock at night, I was in the Marriott Marquis Hotel, we live near the Marriott Marquis Hotel. And sometimes I take my kid there because he likes the glass elevators when it's dark outside and we can't go to a playground. was just kind of like riding it up and down with him so he could look out. We're up on the 44th floor, second to the top floor, doors open, a bunch of people get in. And there's a woman like kind of complains about my stroller. She's like, your stroller. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I moved it like 2 inches. I guess it was like kind of blocking the door, but I don't think it was. And then I looked her in the eye after she said that, and it was Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Wow.
And she was there. And, you know, this is a couple hours before Hillary's party was starting. She's probably on her way to go get into an Uber and go to the Javits Center to Hillary's party. And she's like on her iPad mini, like responding to emails. And I was like, oh, well, we just made eye contact. I'm going to say something to her. And I don't particularly like Debbie Wasserman Schultz or think she did a particularly good job.
And you have a Hillary shirt on.
I'm wearing a Hillary shirt. My 2-year-old child is wearing a Hillary shirt. I was like, oh, I'm going to say something. I just said like, hey, how are you feeling about tonight? And she looked up from her iPad and looked at me and she said, good. And went right back to her iPad. And just like no smile, like no warmth at all. And, you know, I guess that kind of sums
so
it up.
So you're happy Trump won.
I'm not happy the Trump won, but I don't.
Women should smile more is the lesson of this thing.
Yeah,
no, I don't think. I'm not saying that she should have smiled. I'm not saying that she should have smiled or that she should straighten her hair. I'm just saying that she was not a friendly, warm human being
I wonder if she was getting
a very nice and friendly man.
Maybe she knew Hillary was losing.
I wonder if she was getting news, to be honest with you. I wonder at that point. I think they were aware.
Even at 6 o'clock at night,
I think they got in the beginning of the sense of like Michigan might not go their way. They knew at that point Iowa.
I'll give her that benefit of the doubt that maybe she knew 4 hours before I knew
her political career was over.
Well, yeah, and that our country is.
I want to thank you guys because this is the first time in 2 days that I haven't cried talking about politics. I'm going to be crying a lot more in the future, but I want to say to our listeners and to. You know, I think we all have to figure out a way to pick ourselves up and to move forward. And let's all take the time to grieve and eat our feelings and go shopping or whatever makes you feel good.
Except for those of you who are Trump supporters. And congratulations. This is a very surprising and really nice win for you guys.
I hope America is made great for you. Yeah. And I hope we get some residual greatness. Yeah.
But I do sincerely hope that he does well. I don't want to say I told you so. I want to be like, oh, this wasn't as bad as I thought.
I hope he does.
I still will vote him out because he's a terrible human.
I don't hope he does well.
I hope he doesn't ruin
I hope he does
the
fine.
Country.
Yeah. I hope every president ends up being our greatest president.
I hope. Well, I don't hope that for him. I hope that he doesn't fuck up the country. I hope that there's some sort of Trump University lawsuit that gets him impeached. And also Mike Pence has a heart attack before that happens. Or on the same day.
Speaker Paul Ryan becomes president.
Oh, man. I shouldn't wish. I'm sorry. I don't wish
don't
death.
Say
I
won't, that.
Don't wish
say
death
that.
On
guys,
anyone, even
all,
Mike Pence.
Let's all, you know, donate time, donate money. And move forward and try to figure out the best way we can to let's use this as a catalyst to.
Yeah. And we're going to keep doing this podcast. We're not going to do this podcast every week. To be honest, it's kind of hard to chug 2 beers every Monday night.
I was looking forward to a fucking break and now I'm like, well, we got to do this for 4 years.
But no, we love doing our live show every month at UCB East. And I think we will keep doing periodically some podcasts at home too. So hopefully, you know, twice a month, I think, will probably be our schedule. And we hope you guys stick with us. Zubin, thank you so much for coming over tonight.
Thank you for having me.
What's it called? It's called The Daily Show?
The Daily Show.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've heard of it.
And I think as America further accelerates towards being a third world government, that Trevor Noah will be all the more relevant. And
he
more,
has so much experience with third world.
He knows, like, he's very versed in these kinds of administrations. So,
all right, guys. Most importantly, we say it every
week,
but it's really it's so important tonight.
Vote in midterm elections.
You got to do it. You got to do it. But actually, I was going to say this: if you have a Google Calendar, any kind of digital calendar, please. Go put a reminder on, you know, let's just say November 1st, 2018. I don't know what election day is off the top of my head, but you're going to need a little bit of an advance warning. Put a reminder for yourself to go vote in your midterm election in November 2018, because it's the only hope we have right now. Thanks, everybody.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.